Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big. Think big. It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to another edition of our show. As promised, we're getting set to hoop it up. We're going to talk some Mavs basketball, a team that is certainly playing with a lot of confidence and momentum right now as they head into the All-Star break. We are so delighted to have joining us on the Western Company of Texas phone line, Mavs television play-by-play announcer on Fox Sports Southwest, Mark Folliwell. Welcome aboard, Mark.
It's great to be here. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I know you're enjoying this weekend off, but let's start off. There's so many compelling storylines when you talk about the Mavs, and none bigger than the highly anticipated return of Roddy B. Just your thoughts and impressions of his debut on Wednesday night.
I thought he was fantastic. I thought that he really exceeded my expectations. When you haven't played in a competitive NBA game since the playoffs last April, and are a young player who's been through the type of injury that he's been through, and has the, you know, let's be honest, has the pressure that was placed on him because expectations are sky high. They were last summer based on what he did last year, and he's almost been sort of mythologized as we've waited and waited and waited for the comeback to finally occur. Everyone was really, really excited to see what he could bring to the table, so I think that there was a ton of pressure on him, and I thought that he handled it tremendously. He looked great, didn't show any after effects or any problems with the injury other than his conditioning wasn't up to par where he would probably want it to be, but in the 21 minutes that he played Wednesday to score 13 points and 6 assists and look as poised and as smooth as he did, I thought he just absolutely knocked it out of the park in his debut.
You're spot on. He certainly was impressive, and it's interesting because you've been with this team covering it for over 10 years. Has there ever been a time that there's been such curiosity about one particular player? Because he truly was, Mark, a fan favorite, and as you said in the telecast, he created quite a vibe.
You know, I don't think I can really recall one guy who's had so little experience, but yet people are so anxious and excited and eager to see him. So I do think that that at least off the top of my mind, I can't think of anyone else that has had this sort of excitement around him. I know that when Jason Kidd made his debut after the trade back in 2008, there was certainly excitement about him. There was excitement when Devin Harris was early on in his career and in the second year when he was injured for a while and then got back to the thing that was pretty important to the playoff run that they had that year in 2006 to the finals. But, no one really, really stands out to me as having so little actual playing experience, but yet is so has such a positive connection with the fans, and so many people think so highly of him and are so excited to see him. And what's not to like, because he is truly a special talent, and he's certainly still raw and needs to learn some things, and is probably going to have his share of downs in addition to his share of ups before this season is over with. But I still think in the big picture, the sky is the limit for the kid, and as it relates to this year, I think that he can definitely help this thing hopefully make a long run.
And as you said, Mark, he's a special talent, truly a special player in terms of his athleticism, his finesse. I love to watch him in the open floor, how he gets up and down and always finds his way around the basketball. But what do you appreciate the most about his style and play?
The fact that he makes it look so easy, that he's practically impossible to keep. As a defender, it's practically impossible to keep him in front of you. And he can beat anyone off the dribble. And like I said, but he does that without looking like he's exerting an ounce of effort. He has just such a smooth game that has that effortless look about it. Ray Allen has that look about him, especially earlier in his career. When he was at the height of his game, I think McGrady had that sort of look about him that you look at them and say, is this guy trying? Well, of course they are. They just make it look so easy. So that to me is what stands out as so impressive, that Roddy is so ultra-talented that he makes it look so easy. But despite the fact that he makes it look easy, one of the underreported things about him is that he has put in a tremendous amount of time with assistant coaches like Monty Mathis and Daryl Armstrong and those guys who don't get a whole lot of publicity and don't get a whole lot of recognition. He's worked with them extensively in cerebral aspects of the game and in learning the offensive sets, the defensive sets, things that not only he has to do on particular plays, but the responsibilities of his other teammates out there as well. So he's getting a real feel and understanding for the game.
Yes, and Coach Carlisle has talked about as far as his basketball IQ and his understanding of the game. I mean, you got to remember, this guy is only 22 years old.
Turns 23 next Thursday, so he will be celebrating a birthday soon. And not only is he young in terms of just, you know, being 22, almost 23, but he's basketball young because his organized basketball experience really didn't start ramping up until he was about 15 years old, 15, 16 years old, and then was on the French Caribbean island of Guadeloupe. Mikhail Petras, who is playing right now for Phoenix but has also played for Golden State in Orlando, also a native of the same island in the Caribbean, sort of discovered him after his NBA career got started, and that unlocked the door and started the legend of Roddy B, pretty much.
And he certainly does. When you talked about his offensive skill set, how he attracts so much defensive attention, but it's going to be very important as he goes along and gets into the blend and into the mix that he's got to be cognizant of those open players on the perimeter. We saw that on Wednesday night, Jason Kidd being able to pop some of those threes and spot up.
Yeah, he ended up with 6 assists, which was a great number. As a matter of fact, I believe that exceeded anything that he had in a game last year. I think 5 assists was his high in the 56 games that he played in last year. To walk out of it with 6 assists, which I believe was the total in the game against Sacramento on Wednesday. I guess I've already gone into all-star break mode, that my brain is shutting off from all the stats that are usually so readily available. But I believe the number was 6. Whether it's 5, whether it's 6, whatever the case, that's a new career high for him in his first game this year after having 5 in a couple of games last year in 56. So that's really, really impressive. And again, I think, a sign that, he's growing, he's learning. I don't know that he's a true point guard yet, but he can. The running the team aspect and the bigger picture of just more than assist passes, I still think he has some things to learn and grasp about the point guard position in that regard. But just making plays and creating opportunities for other people because of the defensive attention, as you said it, that he draws, he can do that and did that in the game Wednesday.
You are listening to the Mavs television play-by-play voice on Fox Sports Southwest, Mark Folliwell. And let's kind of shift avenues here and talk about defensively. What did you think in terms of his lateral movement? Because when you're coming off a fracture of a left foot, obviously he's had a lot of time to heal. It didn't seem to bother him too much.
No, it didn't. I there were some mistakes. I mean, it was not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. He did get beat or did miss an assignment or two along the way, but I didn't see anything out there that made me think, oh gosh, he doesn't have it. He doesn't have the same skill set that he had before the injury. So, I think that when Roddy makes mistakes defensively, those are born out of, the lack of basketball experience that we talked about, the still learning the game as a smaller, more frail guy, fighting over screens and that sort of thing is not necessarily something that, based on his probably previous basketball experience, is something that comes natural or easy for him. But he can make up for that with just incredible length. And we're talking about someone who's listed at around, anywhere from 6 feet to 6 feet two at the max, but someone who is reported to have a wingspan out in the 6'8", 6'9" range. So his length and his great foot speed help make up for some things that schematically he might completely understand about defense right now.
We are talking Mavs basketball with our television play-by-play voice, Mark Folliwell, this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We do want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And Mark, here we are. We're at the midpoint of the NBA season. Is this where you thought the Mavs perhaps would be? What is your assessment so far?
They probably exceeded my expectations. If you'll remember, they did have that little hiccup when they went 2-7 in the games that Dirk missed and then lost a couple of more games immediately after he came back. So they had a stretch where they lost 9 out of 11 games. Tyson Chandler was down for some time as part of that. And let's not all forget that Caron Butler, who was averaging 15 points in 29 minutes a game, also suffered a season-ending knee injury there on the 1st of January during that stretch. So that was their one little hiccup. But if one had told me that Dirk would miss 9 games and Butler would miss now a month and a half of the season and Roddy Bobois would not step on the floor until February the 16th, he wouldn't see the floor until after Valentine's Day, if you had told me all of those things and said that this team would still be in second place at the All-Star break, I would have thought that they probably didn't have much of a chance to do that. So they've exceeded expectations because Chandler's been so much better than I thought they would, because they've embraced the defensive mentality and the accountability on the defensive end of the floor that Rick Carlisle demanded from them at the beginning of training camp. And once again, they've continued to just be fantastic in close games. This team just has a knack for when the game is close, they seem to more often than not make the plays they need to win those games. They've been very impressive on the road. Boston, they've won there. They've won in San Antonio. They've won in Oklahoma City. That's just a handful of the good teams that they've beaten on the road and beaten a lot of good teams at home. So that's another real credit to what they've done so far this year and allowed them to pile up a better record than I think a lot of people would have expected for them at this point.
I like what you're talking about, Mark, you know, embracing that defensive mentality, and it certainly has helped that they have so much depth and that Coach Carlisle is able to platoon so many players. He can go 9, he can go 12 deep, but, you know, with winning, it can be so fragile, and as you had just astutely pointed out, you know, big-time wins on the road, that's never easy. It's not easy to go to Oklahoma City. It's not easy to go to Boston or even New York.
Well, I think what happens there is, number one, defense, and playing defense at the most important time of the game, which, of course, is the fourth quarter. That was really a calling card for them, that is, to get some of those wins this year at Oklahoma City, San Antonio. Miami was another one I don't think I failed to mention earlier. So that's part of it. And number two is it's a veteran team, and they're not freaked out by the going on the road and being in a hostile environment. And in a lot of ways, I think they probably feel like they embrace that. So all of the challenges that the road presents, they can overwhelm a young team, that can intimidate a young team, because of the veteran experience and the leadership and the age of this team, that's where going on the road doesn't pose the same freakout factor that it might pose for some other teams.
Mark, can you talk some more about Caron Butler? I mean, are we anticipating his return before the playoffs begin? I mean, what are we pinpointing?
I would think that any return before the playoffs began would be nothing short of I think a doctor would probably call that a medical miracle. So, I mean, we're talking about something that even Caron said when he was 15 when he had this was a four to four and a half month rehab process. We're talking about something that happened at the first day of January. It happened on New Year's Day in Milwaukee. So I suppose anything's possible in terms of if the Mavs had a long playoff run to maybe work his way back into a limited role at the tail end of it. But even then, I think we're being incredibly optimistic. I mean, this is an injury that sidelined most people 6 months, others 8 or 9 months. It's a serious knee injury when you have a torn patellar tendon, and it's a long, difficult road back. And to his credit, he's working extremely hard to get back. But I think that any contribution from him late in a playoff run for the Mavericks, I think at this point would have to be considered just gravy.
Just a few more moments this weekend on the Big E Sports Show with Mavs television play-by-play announcer. He does an outstanding job, Mark Folawell. And, hey, let's talk about some post-play. Let's go inside. And perhaps one of the biggest surprisers, not only with the Mavs, but just, you know, within the NBA, has been the play of your 7-1 center, Tyson Chandler. He's a guy that always has a smile on his face. And I guess you could refer to him as perhaps a veteran in the league. Well, he's been around 9 years. But my question to you, Mark, is why is he thriving? Why is he being so successful here in Dallas? It's like he's playing back at home.
Well, he's healthy. I mean, that's the biggest part of it. After injuries limited him to 96 games over the last 2 years, his health is the biggest part of the equation this year. And then he's in a situation that he obviously likes being in. He's on a good team that obviously has a chance to do some damage. And the way he's played, I mean, you're talking about his resurgence personally, and certainly that's been there after an injury-plagued run the last 2 years. But his presence here has been something that has energized the entire team. As you pointed out, he always has a smile on his face, and that energy, that positive attitude that he has, is infectious and rubs off on everyone else. And he's a great communicator on the floor defensively. He's a great spiritual and emotional presence in a locker room that is a guy who, again, has a positive effect, rubs off the energy, a good vibe on everyone, gets in people's faces and gets emotional when need be as well. The guy just strikes the right balance and the right tone of leadership, and he has vaulted to right at the top of the list of most important Mavs because of his on-floor play and being an anchor defensively. But it's not just the defense. It's the intangibles, the emotional aspect of things, both on and off the floor.
And I don't have his stats in front of me, Mark. I believe he's averaging close to a double-double, over 10.5 points per game, almost 9 rebounds. You know, and of course, he prides himself, as you had just said, so much on being that defensive anchor of the team. What did Coach Carlisle do in the offseason to get all these guys to be so cohesive and pull together? Because it really does. I know it's so cliche, defense wins championships, but it really does.
Well, I think there's, a group of people here that are hungry. I think that's, I'm not sure that it was all something that he had to do. I mean, no question that he had a role in it. And he's the head coach, and the buck stops here, so he's got to get everyone on board. But I think it's easy when you have a group of veterans who have not won championships but are hungry to do so and who will look at stats and realize that, defense is an important, very, very important part of winning a championship. The numbers bear that out. you add to it that it's a group of people collectively who had a very, very disappointing end of the playoffs last year by winning 55 games in the regular season and then bowing out in the first round to San Antonio. So Coach Carlisle and Coach Dwayne Casey, who's intimately involved with the defense as well, they're one of their top assistant coaches along with Terry Stotts. You know, those guys have gotten everyone to buy in. But the players have bought in because for many of them, they realize that, you know, the window will close soon on their careers. And, you know, there's certainly nothing to be ashamed about in terms of having a great NBA career and not winning a championship. A ton of guys have done that. But clearly, this is a group of people who want their legacy to be more than just, well, he had a great career, but he didn't win a championship. And so they've bought in to the message that Carlisle is preaching because they realize how important it is. And the opportunity that is out there before them. They have a superstar to build around in Dirk. They have a tremendous supporting cast, people who have accepted their roles. And so they realize, hey, there's a shot here. We can do this, but we've got to buy into certain aspects of how we need to play to do it. And clearly one of those is buying into what's got to be done defensively.
Let's talk about number 41, Dirk Nowitzki, because he certainly is playing with a sense of urgency. And as Jude said, you know, he realizes that window, that time frame to be able to get that title and that championship. It's getting smaller and smaller. But when he's out here, do you appreciate the most just how he plays with at such a high level when he's healthy, but a level of consistency night in and night out?
Yeah, that's it's something to marvel at and something that I try not to take for granted getting the opportunity to see it night in, night out. I tell people that when it comes to his personality as part of the equation, too, and what a great, great guy he is and a great person in the community, that there has never been anyone around here like him, but I don't know that there ever will be again. He is just everything you could possibly want in a franchise player because he is consistent night in, night out. He's durable. You know, he is not someone who's causing a problem in the locker room or a problem in the community. He's a selfless player. He's tremendously giving. There's no ego. There's a genuine niceness about him that, you know, just filters to every aspect of his personality on and off the floor. You know, I could go on and on and on about Dirk, but as far as a player and what he's doing this year, yeah. Yes, he's playing at a great level of consistency, shooting 52% from the floor, around 40% from the line, or 40% for the three-point line, 88% for the free-throw line, and there's no player who has a bigger impact on his team on and off the floor when you look at the on-court to off-court comparison numbers. He to me, is, even though his numbers have dipped a little bit lately as he's been battling through some injuries and the numbers may not end up being good enough statistically for him to win the MVP this year, when you look at how well they play with him, how well they did not play without him, and the on-court, off-court comparison, I think he epitomizes an MVP.
Well, we certainly look forward to him showcasing his skills in his 10th All-Star game this weekend. My final question for you, Mark. The NBA trade deadline is just around the corner. It's looming, and we know Mark Cuban. He is never afraid to make a deal. I mean, what can we anticipate? Looks like he's got, you know, all the slots filled. I can't imagine him making any moves, or does he need to?
Well, I think that you asked me that question shortly in the aftermath and in the wake of the Caron Butler injury, and Dirk was down for a period of time. I would have thought that there probably would have been some sort of trade that was made. But with the return of Bobois, with the addition of Peja Stojakovic, it certainly seems like he's going to be a guy who's going to contribute and maybe even more of a significant role than I thought he would when they signed him after his buyout from the Toronto Raptors. He had a breakout game against Houston recently, where he scored 22 points, and you know, certainly after a first two or three games that were a little rough around the edges, he's got his legs under him and his shot is falling. So those are two nice midseason additions to make to your team without having to give anything up. And Stojakovic and Roddy, I suppose that you know, there's always something that might present itself as a minor option that could be done next week, but I think that the chances of a major trade have gone down significantly from where I thought they stood back when Caron got hurt. And when Dirk was still recovering back in early January, I'll be surprised if there's a major trade. But if something minor comes up that might, you know, allow them to add maybe one more role player to this thing, I certainly could see something like that coming down the pike.
We will watch and see how things evolve. Mark, we appreciate you so much coming on. I can't believe we've had this conversation. We didn't talk about Peja Stojakovic, and we certainly didn't talk about Jason Terry. How did that happen?
Well, it's a testament to the good things that are going on with the team, that there's just so many things to talk about, and there's so much depth with the thing, too, that we would have to do a 30-minute interview. We're going to try to capsulize what each guy is contributing to this thing this year.
Outstanding. Mark, we'll just invite you back. Thank you again so much, and enjoy some well-deserved rest.
All right, you got it, Alyssa. Call anytime.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.